The blessing is the crown authority over all that flies, swims, walks, creeps, or crawls. Everything you need will adhere to that blessing and take the sweat off you.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland. Today, you'll learn how the anointing of God enables the body of Christ to receive the blessing without measure and enjoy a toil-free lifestyle.
Let's open our Bibles once again to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he, now notice that, the blessing of the Lord, he. You see, he is referring to the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now notice, it is the blessing that maketh rich. It is not the riches that makes you blessed. Are you getting that?
Amen.
Say it out loud. I'm not blessed
because I'm rich.
I'm rich because I'm blessed.
I'm rich because I'm blessed.
Now, before we leave this, I want to reiterate what Jesus said about seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, why do you take thought, and why are you spending all your time thinking about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and where you're going to live? Now, that's the Texas translation, but you understand what I'm saying here. Now you can understand what he's talking about. No, he said, that's what the Gentiles do. All right, now listen. This is vital information, because this is what you have to renew your mind with, and this is where your mind should be renewed to. This is where we're endeavoring to move right now in the Spirit of God. And that is this. The Gentile. A Gentile is not a non-Jew. It was that way in the Old Covenant. The word Gentile means without God. The Scripture says in the book of Ephesians, remember when you were Gentiles, but now in Christ Jesus? So now you can see what he's talking about. He's talking about that Gentile Babylonian system of commerce out there that's got the whole world wrapped up in it, where you have to toil for a living. So, remember this now. The Gentile has the idea that he can't be blessed unless he has money. Now, that's what makes him vulnerable to do anything for money, because he's created by God to know somehow or another that I'm supposed to be blessed. He doesn't even know why that is. Did you realize that the entire human race knows it is supposed to multiply? It is supposed to do better? It is supposed to have abundance? Did you ever notice that? Having the abundance is not the problem. It's the way you get it that's the problem. Jesus said, I've come you have life and have it more abundantly. So now, let's get this. Say it again. I'm not blessed because I'm rich.
I'm not blessed because I'm rich.
I'm rich because I'm blessed.
I'm rich because I'm blessed.
I'm not blessed because I'm healed.
I'm not blessed because I'm healed.
I'm healed because I'm blessed.
I'm healed because I'm blessed.
See, you got the blessing before you did the healing, because it's the blessing that got you healed. The healing is in the blessing.
Hallelujah.
You getting a hold of that, aren't you? I can tell it. I can tell it. Some of you have been sitting there thinking. And then suddenly, whoa, Myrtle, did you see that? Myrtle said, I've been seeing it for 3 days. Where you been? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. This is the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, and there's no sorrow with it. Where does sorrow in riches come from? Where does that grief come from? Well, the Lord's still dealing with me about this, and he got this plan better than I did. So I'm going to show it to you. I want you to turn back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the third chapter, verse 17. And unto Adam, he, God, said, because you hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. Do you see that? Cursed is the ground for your sake. Or cursed is the ground because of you. Now pay careful attention. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Now, right here, you may want to make a note of this. Doesn't the scripture say that Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows? Huh? Well, he was made a curse for us. So anything that came in the curse, he bore it. So you can see we're redeemed from this, can you not? All right, let's go ahead and read here, because we don't see something. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. In other words, you're going to have to work for a living, buddy. Now notice, 19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn every bite you get. Why? Why was this such a shock? Why was this such a curse? Why did he have to toil for a living? Now, he was to work before. He was to till the garden. He was to do all these things, but not by any sweat. He had the blessing working in him and on him, and his words were as powerful as God's. He's a faith man. Amen. Crowned with his glory. Now, why is this such a shock? Well, in the first place, he probably didn't know what sweat was. Sweat? But he found out, man, when he left that garden, that ground was like farming in cement, man. And he didn't know nothing about farming anyway. He had to toil because he had no blessing. Now he's trying to get his blessing by working for it. So it created the idea that if I can get food, food, I'm blessed. No, you're not blessed because you get the food. You got the food because you're blessed. But he couldn't do that anymore. And so this began the world's affair in toiling for a living. Toiling for a living. My, my, my. Say, I'm redeemed from toiling. Now, I didn't say he's redeemed from work. No, no. Adam wasn't redeemed, didn't have to get redeemed from work. He's supposed to work. But he had a different set of tools. And he's working on assignment from God. And now he's working out there trying to feed his family. And the ground hates him, the animals hate him, and he don't know what he's going to do. And then he wound up, one of his boys killed the other one. Man, I mean, things ain't going good, are they? Do you tell me that's not a picture of the world today? And I'm sad to say, it's a picture of the Christian world. Or at least parts of it. But I'll tell you, it's not a picture of this church. It's not a picture of our church. Amen. Glory to God. Now, go with me over to the book of Luke. And we'll touch on this. We don't spend much time on this, but you can see it, and then you can go ahead and pray it out and study it out for yourself, and go back and re-listen to the tape or CD or DVD of this, whatever you get, and go back and get this. And I'm telling you right now, you need to get the recordings of this and go over it and over it and over it and allow it to work in your spirit. Why do you want to waste your time watching that television when it's based on toil and sorrow? The news media doesn't know anything. Anything they know has already happened. Now, well, I mean, I didn't say that to be funny or ugly. That's just the nature of it. That's the way the thing is set up, and they have a job to do. And they that's the job that they do. But we have a job to do. We're working in this system, and they're working in that one out there, and that's the reason they don't understand us. So, now, let's look here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Luke 5. This is going to be one of those scriptures, and he's the kind that I like. When you get down in it, right in the middle of it, you say, oh, yeah, I see that. You know, don't you just love an awe moment? Revelation is the sweetest thing to the human spirit that exists. It's Jesus revealing himself direct to your spirit. Praise God. Verse 1. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, they stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now notice. And saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The fishermen did not press in to hear the word. They might have overheard some of it, but they're washing their nets. They worked hard and they washing those nets. They're still on the job. Now notice. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, now this is a statement of faith. Anointing always responds to words of faith. Words of faith activate the blessing. Puts it into motion in the present circumstance. Now, here's the difference. The anointing works as you minister and as it's needing. Blessing works all the time, 24 hours a day. And the anointing is part of the blessing. Can you see that?
Yes.
Because that's one of the things that removes the curse.
Yeah.
The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. So the blessing is working out there for you 24 hours a day. Wake or asleep, your angels are active and so forth. But when you speak the word of faith in a situation, the anointing comes forth, and then that anointing activates the force of the blessing to enforce the Garden of Eden rules here. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Now, that's important in understanding this. Jesus spoke faith. He said, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Or more better, the word draft, let down your net for a haul. That's all he had to say. Now the command has been made. The blessing without measure has been released. Things are happening. But I want you to listen to what Peter said. Simon answering said unto him, Rabbi, we have toiled all the night. Now these are the seed of Abraham, and they're supposed to know better than this. But they didn't. No more than Christians do. They're the seed of Abraham too, and they don't know it. We toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, or nevertheless, because you said so. In other words, he's thinking in his mind, I know better. What does that preacher know about fishing? I will let down the net. That ain't what Jesus said. He said, let down the nets. But he's not going to do that. He knows good and well ain't going to get anything. And he's been out all night. He's hungry. His wife don't know why he'd be going to be gone anyway. He don't go fish this time of day. His cell phone don't work.
Yeah.
So, but out of respect for a rabbi that he did respect highly. And he said, because you said so, I will let down the net. Well, you notice Jesus didn't say anything. He'd already said what he had to say. So, why didn't he let down the nets? You don't want to rewash those nets. If you don't wash them, they're going to rot on you. You don't want to rewash those nets. They're not going to catch anything. So what did he do? He made a toil-based decision. And he let down an old net that he didn't care whether he rewashed it or not. Now pay attention. And when they had this done, now nobody else had done anything. Peter has thrown one net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and that old net broke. Now, Peter knows he is in trouble. Oh, God, I have tithed an unholy tithe. He knew what he'd done. And then watch what else happened. Then they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Well, their nets didn't break. Are you with me? Now, here's the bottom line of this. We could go on with it. I mean, you can preach for 2 days on that because it's all wrapped up in there. But we've got some other things that we need to cover. But here's the bottom line in that situation, and it is so common in life. You need to meditate on it and meditate on it and meditate on it and meditate on it. So enough that it'll begin to change the decisions you make. Because you make wrong decisions based on toil for a living. That's the way you're going to get your blessing. When you've already got your blessing, and it's your blessing that'll get your living. And turn your income into seed. Hallelujah. Whole different way to live altogether. But you have to train at it because you have to learn to trust the blessing. You have to learn to trust Jesus, the authority over the blessing. And that's what these boys had to do. And it took them a long time to learn it. They tried it again. After Jesus was crucified, they went fishing again. You know, try and get enough. I mean, they had been well taken care of for over 3 years. Jesus said, did you lack anything? When I told you to take neither money nor a purse, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lack nothing. Well, the blessing was taken care of. But they didn't learn that altogether. And then when he went to the cross, they came out to the place where he had expended everything in that ministry. He didn't leave anything on the table. He wasn't worried about them anyway. He's going to send the Holy Ghost in a few days and they're going to go from there. They'll understand it more after they get born again. Well, here they are without. So the first thing they did, Peter said, I'm going fishing. Amen. Now, listen very, very carefully. They beckoned their partners. They filled their boats with fish. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees. Why didn't he fall down at his feet? The boat's full of fish. They're slapping him in the face, and he didn't catch a one of them. He threw one old rotten net. Your blessing can be piling up all around you, and you don't even know it. You don't even know it's there. Now, look, now we're there, so now listen. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He realized what he'd done. Simon Peter saw it, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the haul of the fish which they had taken. Now, here is the difference between living by the blessing and living by the sweat of your brow. Toiling drove the fish away. They saw the net, they were afraid. They saw the people, they were afraid. That's the reason they fished at night. This lake is crystal clear, and that net hits the water, and the fish scatter. Toiling drives away your blessing. You're trying to get blessed by earning it. The blessing is the crown authority over all that flies, swims, walks, creeps, or crawls. Everything you need will adhere to that blessing and take the sweat off your brow. And when Jesus made his command, they had just long enough for all the fish in the Galilee to come up there around that boat. And when they threw out the net, instead of running from it, they jumped in it. You're supposed to shout right there.
Jump in the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location. Come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. With Super Kid Academy in 1440, there's a place for the whole family. Call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Now, a number of years ago, you've heard me say this over and over again, but I want to keep it very clear in our thinking all the time to make Friday offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And it's just simply let him that's taught in the Word communicate with him that teaches in all good things. Now, let me ask you something. Why does God make it so important to us to give when we receive from Him? Well, now that you're learning about the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You're learning what true riches in God really are, what that is and why and how it works. But now you can understand Jesus saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What you have to give is coming through the blessing. And when you give, you activate the word that you have heard, and your faith releases it as the blessing in your life, and it begins to remove the curse of sickness and disease and death and poverty and all of those things. That's the first job the blessing does, and then it begins to create the Garden of Eden in your life where there is no want. Praise God. Amen. That's God's plan. Now, Father, we pray over this offering today, and we receive it as such, a seed sown by your people into the word that they've heard, sowing them to the Spirit to reap the Zoe life of God in their spirit and activate the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Our partners, we love you so, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Now, those of you receiving this television and radio broadcast outside the United States, your offering stays in the area where you're located, where you're receiving the broadcast. It doesn't come to the United States and then go back. It stays right there where you are. So you are communicating locally and building the message of God right where you are. Go to church this weekend. Be a blessing. Pour it out. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. Next week, we're going to continue on with this, the blessing without measure, and allowing the blessing to work in your life and developing faith in the blessing itself. Praise God. I tell you, forgive me if you will, but I just get so excited about this. I can just hardly stand it. It is such a thrill to be with you on these broadcasts talking about the blessing. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Satan's trying to stop the Word of God in you so he can stop the Word from producing in you and stop that blessing from getting in his way. That's what the whole issue is about. It's not a newspaper issue. It's not a gossip issue. It's not a fight me, fight you issue.